Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Is the loss of a friendship weighing you down? Let Dr. Sharon Livingston, PhD, help you move past it. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Dr. Sharon Livingston. Sharon is an author, life coach, and psychologist who works for companies such as Nabisco, Mattel, and AT&T. She is also co-founder of ICCA, which is International Coach Certification Alliance. And she is the president at the Livingston Group for Emotional Marketing. Now, Sharon, this is all awesome. However, I know what you're here to talk about today is really your passion. And that's what happens when a best friend is lost. And something you and I uncovered during our pre-interview chat was that your passion has become fiction writing when the whole rest of your life has been based on reality, right?
Yes. Isn't that the craziest thing? And who knew? Who knew that would happen?
Yes. And you know what? I regret to inform you that this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. And you must be quickly becoming an expert in this field, because I know you just published a book, which is called Get Lost Girlfriend: How I Found Myself When My Best Friend Dumped Me. And that's going to be the first of a series, you said.
Yeah, it's called, the series is a novel approach to everyday life. And so I look at everyday things and I fictionalize the account of what happened. So I bring in my reality and then my emotions, and then imagination hits the wind and all kinds of things pop up.
Which is awesome. And I mean, that's what fiction writing is. We just embellish the truth. All right. So, you know, I always start the show with a passage that is meaningful to my guests. Do you have one that resonates with you?
So recently, I know this is going to sound maybe a little strange, and I'm not a religious person. I'm not a heavy-duty spiritual person, but I've been taken with the I am, which means that I am everything. I am me. I'm part of my community. I'm part of the universe. And there's more to life than me, and I am all of it.
And, you know, it sounds like that's what you're writing about, too.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
This Friday episode of this week that we are actually doing this interview is kind of about that, and about how we're all connected. And we're all connected, I feel, because everybody is learning the same lessons. We are all here for the same reason. We are all learning the same lessons. We're just going about it and wearing it differently. And, and it seems like that's the themes of your books are about these lessons.
It's true. It's about finding self in the midst of craziness, because sometimes crazy things happen and they don't make any sense. And yet there's a thread that goes through it that has something to do with connection, with strength and flexibility at the same time. And I'm trying to learn about that, and I learn about it by writing.
And that's what's amazing. So I want to know, how did this passion for fiction writing come up for you later in life? Because I know you were on your way to write a business book when this happened, right?
I was. And I use a lot of psychological techniques in research. In the Livingston Group for Emotional Marketing, that's what I do. I help manufacturers, corporations, services understand the driving forces in their market. And it's an emotional one. It's always an emotional one. So I've come up with all kinds of interesting psychological techniques that get at that. And so there I was trying to write this up and try to sound very authoritative. And an incident happened in my life, and I started journaling about it, and I started reading my journal to my writing coach. I have a storytelling coach who, more than book writing, he's about learning how to tell stories and get up in front of an audience and tell your story. And so when I did that, he was very encouraging. And then I know that you must know this because you're a writer yourself. The writing takes on a life of its own.
Yep.
And it has to write. The book has to write itself.
You know, I had to tell you that for the first two semesters of my MFA program, I had such trouble writing. And it's because I was approaching it in a critical thinking type of way.
Like, exactly. Yeah.
Like you would if you were writing some kind of literary analysis or some kind of research paper, like, to outline it. And some people do that and they can function like that. And I couldn't. But at one point I sat down and said, Lynette, just effing write it. Just write. Just start writing. And you know what? I was like, no, my character wouldn't do that. They would do this. And you're right. It wasn't until that point that I realized it took on a life of its own.
So I have a character that appears later in my book. It's kind of after I settled down from some of the pain in it. And I call him TDW, which stands for Tall, Dark, and Weird. And I can see him and my dog can see him. Nobody else can see him.
Right.
But we have these really annoying conversations. He teases me all the time, or he bothers me. But at the same time, in some kind of interesting way, he sort of protects me and helps me think through what's going on. When I get too serious about, oh my God, my friend left me, blah, 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 he'll tease me about it. And that usually gets me out of whatever was bothering me.
So this book is about getting dumped by a best friend. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah.
I mean, we can all relate to that. And it was funny, as soon as I realized that you had written this book, my immediate response was, wow, I can relate.
Yes. And wherever I go, if I've addressed audiences of like 225 people for some other reason, and it comes up that I wrote this book and what it's about, everybody comes up to me afterwards to say, oh my God, that happened to me too. Blah, 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 blah. They have no one to talk to about it. You're allowed to go to a therapist or a counselor to talk about the loss of a loved sex partner, but nobody goes to talk about the loss of a friend. And I don't mean the friend dying. I mean the friend telling you, that's it. I'm not interested anymore. You're supposed to get over it. Just get over yourself. Don't cry. Don't pout. Just move on. It's just a friend.
It is a mourning, though. It's a mourning process.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely. And when this first happened to me, I was so upset. I didn't know if I was angry or hurt or scared. It was amazing. And the first day when I realized that this was for real and this was never going to be again, I was doing my stairs. I think I told you I do 100 flights of stairs a day. And I was screaming. My husband had gone for a while, otherwise I couldn't have done that. But I was in my house going up and down my stairs, screaming at the top of my lungs and then crying and then laughing at myself because I was such an idiot. And then I spoke into my iPhone, into the recorder, and I had a conversation with this person and just like pouring my heart out, knowing that I could never tell them what I said. And so the beginning of it was just to let the emotions out. And, you know, I'm trained in psychology, so I know it's really critical to let the feelings out. And one time isn't enough. Sometimes you're going to have to go over that over and over. And what happens if you don't, if that happens to you, and I hope it never happens to anybody else, but if it does, and you don't let the feelings out, they don't go away. They go underground. And so in this audience that I was in front of a couple of weeks ago, there were people who came up to me and said, this happened to me 30 years ago. 30 years ago, and you're still feeling it? Yeah, it still hurts. They've never processed it. You have to be able to process it to get through it. So this was awful, what I went through, but it was 4 months, not 30 years.
And I know that Jack Canfield, right, who is Chicken Soup for the Soul guru.
Yes.
It's the first person to leave you a review on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I love the video of the two of you on your Facebook page.
Thank you.
Where he talks so nicely about how he felt when he read your book and that he couldn't put it down. And, you know, it was really touching because he had his own best friendship that went down, that his friend walked away. And he, not only did he learn from what you had to say and he could connect to what you were saying, he basically, I felt, was saying that you helped him heal from that, that reading this book will help you heal from it.
Thank you very much. And part of the story that you didn't hear from him, which was remarkable, was he was seeing some kind of, I don't know, applied kinesiology, muscle testing, working with someone who was much more inspired than just the applied kinesiology. This person could really read what was going on in the body. And Jack had some problems in his neck or shoulder or something. And he would get to a spot and he'd say, you know, he would do the testing and he'd say, what happened here? What happened here? And then he said, he got to this one spot and he said, what happened when you were 24? And all these feelings about this friend came out. He was holding it from when he was 24 years old.
I can understand that, though. I mean, seriously, it's hard. It is hard, you know. I know for myself, I cried on a weekly basis about it.
Well, you know, good that you cried. Good that you cried. Because if we hold that in and just pretend it's not there, it comes back in some form to, you know, hit us in the butt.
I'm still not over it, though. I really think that I need to read your book, and maybe that will help me even further.
I'll bet it will. And you know what, Lynette? I'm happy to help you with it. I'd be delighted.
Well, that'd be awesome. Does your friend know that you wrote this book?
I tried telling her at one point, and she never returned my call. So I went, oh, well, too bad.
There you go. But thanks for launching my whole series because this, yep. You know, I am a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And this is something else that you and I were talking about through email when I said, you know, I have an experience of my own. And I definitely believe everything happens for a reason. And, you know, to my listeners out there, to my listeners, hashtag motivators out there, sometimes these relationships are just meant to end. And while it is hurtful that they end, there's a reason why they ended. And maybe it's because I know for myself, I get very tied to the people around me. And I don't know if I would, let's say, just go quit my job and do this or go off on a 50-state tour, you know, because and it's weird because, you know, you would think, well, that should be something that you decide with your husband, which of course I did. I did and I do. But my husband, you know, he's got a stake in what I'm doing. So like, he wants me to be successful because he's part of it, you know? So even though he's not coming on the entire trip, he'll show up here and there, you know, he's still part of it. So I don't know. When I think of the friends that I've lost and some have moved away, I think, you know, wow, if she didn't move away, I don't know if I would have gone to college because we spent every day together.
Right.
Because I didn't go to college until I was 30.
Wow. Listen to you. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So what kind of hesitations or challenges then do you feel you had writing this?
So one of them was what you just said. I felt like it was a betrayal, even though her name is cloaked and I've got all kinds of crazy stuff that I put in there that wasn't true. You know, it's fictionalized. I felt guilty. Like, you know, if I run into her on the street and she read it, is she going to, you know, punch me in the face? Is she going to turn her face and put me down? Is she going to say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I have no idea. It was scary.
And so how do you feel about it? What if she did say, what if she was mad? Not that she would actually punch you in the face, but let's say she punched you in the face.
Then I would think she's a total jerk. But if she said she was angry about it, I'd say, why don't you go write your own? You're a good writer. Go write it. Write your version.
Ooh, that's nice. I like that idea. That's interesting.
There was something that you said before about loss. I heard a story. I was at this really amazing leadership program. I'm always looking for advanced techniques that I can bring back to the coaching alliance that Glenn and I run. And so they have storytelling around a fire pit at night. they tend the fire like the Indians did, you know, way back when. As they were stoking the fire, there were a bunch of people sitting around from every walk of life you can imagine, all different spiritual backgrounds. Some were just spiritual, some were very Catholic, Christian, Jewish. I don't know if there was someone who was a Muslim there, but people who were Buddhist, that kind of thing. So this one man starts telling a story about a rabbi called the Baal Shem Tov. I had never heard of this before in my life. And he talks about this was a teacher in Europe, and maybe it was the 1600s or something like that. And he traveled in a carriage with horses with his students, and they would go from house to house. And if this person ends up at your door and you were of that same faith, you had to open the door and offer them whatever you had, sleeping quarters, food, whatever. And so the students thought he was going to be going to this fancy house that they were passing, and he tells the driver to keep going, and they come up to this very poor farmhouse. And they walk up to the door, and the farmer opens the door, and the Baal Shem Tov asks them to invite him in. And he doesn't know what to do. They have nothing. They're so poor. And he talks to his wife. He said, what should we do? And I have to invite him in. She goes, okay. And he invites him in. And the end of the story, I could tell you the whole story, but I want to move on to the punchline. He ends up having to sell everything. He sells his cow to go and get food. And then he has to sell. The Baal Shem Tov decides that he wants to stay longer. He ends up selling the farm. He just gives everything because he believes that's the right thing to do. So they have nothing, and his wife's all upset. And so the morning before the new people take over the farm, he goes for a walk, and the town drunk comes by, and he says to him, listen, you have always been so good to me. When I die, I buried treasure under this tree. It's yours. And, you know, he doesn't pay attention. And the next morning, he wakes up, and there's a funeral procession going down the road, and it's the drunk. And he goes over to the tree, and he starts digging, and sure enough, oh my gosh, there's a big box filled with gold coin that makes him, you know, wealthy beyond means. And so he gets a farm back, they end up building a beautiful thing, and at one point the wife says to him, shouldn't we go say thank you to the Baal Shem Tov? And so they go and find where he lives, and they go. And the whole story was the Baal Shem Tov tells the students that he did this because he had to give up everything to find himself and to find the treasure.
You know what? That really hits home. Really.
Sometimes we have to go to rock bottom, right?
Yeah. What do you think you've learned about yourself through this while you were writing this?
So one of the things that I learned was that I had the strength to just be with myself. I didn't go run out and try to hang out with this one or that one. When I was a kid with boyfriends, if I lost one boyfriend, I found another boyfriend. But I didn't do that. I stayed with myself. And I started asking myself things like, hey, you in the mirror, what would you like to do today? You have a day off. What would you like to do? And so I took myself for rides. I went and did things I wouldn't ordinarily do. I started going to metaphysical things just for fun. I started taking pictures of foliage, and I just felt enthralled with the colors. I went to paint things. I just did things that I like to do because I like to do them. I went to a movie by myself one time when my husband wasn't available, things like that. And it was fun.
Getting to know yourself.
Yes.
I know, because I think that's what happens is we put so much onto other people to be with us, entertain us, you know. My daughter is great at, and she's an only child. I always think of her when this subject comes up because her big thing is be your own best friend. She can have a total little party by herself. You know what I mean?
Right.
She like celebrates this time with herself. I was never like that, but I was also one of five kids. How many kids are in your family?
Me too. I was number four of five.
Me too.
It's a big deal.
You know what? I think we have just been so used to being part of a team. Like I was never alone.
Right. And my mother kind of taught me that if you're alone, that means you're not likable, not wanted. She hated being alone herself. So I was taught that being alone was not a good thing.
Right. It means you don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
So if I had a conversation with a possible friend or a boyfriend, my mother would say, "So, who called who?"
Right.
And I would be so shamed and humiliated because usually I was the one who calls.
Because you're the outgoing one who brought this outgoing personality out into the world, and look at all the great things you've done and are doing.
Exactly.
Exactly. I was the same way.
I mean, how crazy is that to be put down for being friendly?
Right. Well, that was the way it was back then too, right?
I guess so.
So if somebody wanted to move in this direction of things that we are talking about today, and I know with your psychology background, you know, you probably have a couple different resources you can recommend. I know we've talked about writing, we've talked about psychology, but in addition to your book about getting over friendships, or even about being by yourself, is there any resources you can recommend?
So I'm particularly enamored with Jack Canfield and his approach to helping people find their self-esteem. And he has one book that is very popular that works really well for a lot of people. It's called The Success Principles. And while it might sound like business, it's really about success as a human being, to recognize your heart's desire and your passion and to have it come to life and to commit yourself to it and to making it happen. So I really recommend that. I recommend finding a coach. If there is something that a goal that you want to work towards and you're having a little bit of a struggle, there are so many coaches. You want to find not a life coach, because the life coach is, oh, I can do anything. You want to find a coach that specializes in something that you're interested in. When you wake up in the morning, you go, oh man, I wish I could, whatever that is, find a coach who does that. That's one of the things we do at ICCA. We train coaches and we train them to have a specialty. So they get taught how to help people, but in a very specific area. So for example, we have relationship coaches, we have ADHD coaches, your teen ADHD coach, we have grief and loss coaches, we have caring for the caregiver coaches, we have spiritual coaches who specialize even further than that, but there's all kinds of coaches. You can look online for the specific topic that's bothering you and put coach next to it, and you'll be shocked what pops up. And they'll pop up in your area if you want to see them in person. They'll pop up all around the country, all around the world, and you check them out.
I like that. Well, and you know, I went through a coaching program as well. So for this part of the show, Motivate Me Express to Success, it's 60-second responses or less. And I think that what we're talking about here is, I think we could expand it to say, really, to get the weight off of your shoulders, because you just listed all different coaches that could help you.
So, yes.
Because I believe to get people to act, right, they need to envision themselves in whatever situation that is. They need to explore what it would take to get there, and then they need to execute a plan. So what should somebody see when that weight is lifted?
So when the weight is lifted, first of all, there's that feeling of freedom, right? It's going to be different for each person. When you say that to me, I see myself standing in front of an audience and motivating them to find themselves, whether they lost a friend or whether they've been oppressed by whatever, that weight. There is a passion that each of us has. It's our purpose. It's why we are in this world. Whether it was meant to be or we discovered it, it doesn't matter. But there is something, there is meaning, there's something that makes us feel fulfilled. And when you allow yourself to even take a guess at it, and it might change, you might be on a road to find it. When you see yourself in that passion, that is an outcome that you can use as your goal. And the path could be very twisty. You know, the whole thing about plane starts in New York. It's not a straight line out to California. It twists and turns. So it's always on a course, but that course goes back and forth. And then, you know, there are different obstacles, weather patterns, and all that they have to avoid or get around. Here's a really cool thing, and Lynette, you might want to do this sometime just for fun. If you could picture a door, and on this door it says, my most positive future self. And in your mind's eye, imagine the door and open it up and walk through. And see what you see. Listen to the sounds you hear. Get a real sense of it. Notice where you find yourself. And then take a walk up a path. And there she is. There's your most positive future Lynette.
I just did that.
I love it. Who did you see?
I saw what I would look like, but it was weird because you know what? The door I envisioned is not a door I know. The house I was in is not a house I know. So It's weird because you would think that you would put yourself in a place you're familiar with, but that's not what popped up.
That's okay.
And so I was walking, there was water to the right, but I could see her and I could see that she was very, you know what? The first thing I noticed was what she was wearing and that she was just very fit and she felt very strong.
Healthy. And so what you can do, and that's wonderful, is you can have a conversation with her, and depending upon who you are, you might be encountering her differently. I might be holding my positive future self's hand. She might be whispering in my ear. She might be giving me a hug and telling me things. But however that is, however you encounter each other, let her tell you how she got to be there and tell you all about your fabulous future life.
That's pretty deep. That's pretty deep there, Dr. Sharon. So to explore then, I mean, I think, you know, you kind of just went right into exploring, you know, yourself introspectively.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something you would want to add, or is that, I mean, that was a nice natural progression into that. And I feel these steps are like that. We have to envision for ourselves, feel what it would feel like, and then explore. Some people, you know, think explore inside. Other people say explore, you know, where you would need to do this or how you would need to do this.
And so I always like to start with the dream, the most positive dream, and then have that totally amplified, drawn, pictured, felt in all kinds of ways. And they say, okay. Well, let's take a look at that and see what it's going to take to get there. She's there. Lynette is there. She knows. And she can tell you some secrets about how she did it. And let's see how we can work on it together. What are some posts along the way that you have to, they're the temporary goals. You know, one goal gets to another. And we can start laying that out and working on it. And that's how I work with people to get towards their goals.
Right. And I love the concept of the twist and turning path because I'm a firm believer that all of the different places you've been in your life, everything is simply meant to teach you a lesson, to prepare you to move forward. I don't believe in end goals. There are goals, don't get me wrong. But once you reach that, you're never done.
No.
I never want to be done with what I'm doing.
So one of the women who came to our, we have a remote coaching program and we have immersions where people come for 5 days, 7 days. And one of the women, when she was doing this exercise, she was looking at her 90-year-old self. And this was a beautiful 90-year-old self, full of wisdom, compassion, and beautiful. She was beautiful. Just because you're 90 doesn't mean that you have to be decrepit. You can be, especially in this day and age when people are living longer and longer, she had a wise, beautiful 90-year-old self that she was becoming. And I love that.
Wow, because I saw myself younger, like I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? Or does it just feel like I was younger? I don't know.
So I think when you lift the weight off and you have that freedom, it feels younger,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so maybe you were 10 years older, but you looked hot. Man, that Lynette, 10 years from now, she's going to be a babe, you know?
Well, I think, you know what? I think it may be a reflection of how I'm feeling today. Because today, I was saying to you earlier, I weighed in at where I exercise and they took my measurements and I've been just getting some good healthy vitamins and all of those things. And I think maybe it's a reflection of how I'm feeling. I do feel stronger and healthier today than I did last week.
And see, I think that happens. I think we can age younger. I know a lot of people who are much better looking as an older woman than they were as a teenager or a 20-something.
Right, right.
It happens. They change.
So to execute a plan then, what would the first step be?
So first is to allow yourself to maybe have an imagination of a goal. And one of the things that you could do is see yourself at the top of the mountain instead of the bottom and step backwards. You know, where were you right before that? Right before that? Right before that? And describe it. And how did you get from, so you ended up at point G, where was point F? And how'd you get from point F to G? Okay, describe that in fully. And now step back to what was right before that. You know, when is it? What's it like? What's a key element there? What do you have to go do to get from that point to that point? So you do it backwards because it's much easier. Oh my God, I made it, to backtrack than to be at the bottom of the mountain and go, holy moly, I have to go all the way up there.
That's a, that's a new thought. That's a new thought for me. I have never thought of that either.
I'm delighted. I'm glad. So it helps you to take a, you know, baby steps back instead of forward, because forward it's like could be overwhelming.
Okay. So what would your final thought be for everybody today?
My final thought is that every single person is lovable. And sometimes it takes a while to recognize it. There's a quote, what other people think of you is none of your business. I love that.
Yep, that's great.
I love
that. Because you can't control it anyway.
No, what can I do? The only one I have any control over is me. And when change happens, you go into this like river of uncertainty. So if you were in this one situation and something happens to disrupt it, you're in this ball of chaos, kind of like, oh, what the heck, what's going on? But the beauty of that before you get to the other side is that it's full of possibilities. It's full of possibilities. And when I'm stuck in one way, there aren't a lot of possibilities. This is the way we've always done it. We're going to do it like this again, but we always do it this way. Well, now there's no always, and it's full of possibilities. So you can try things on. You can play.
Okay, so let's get some contact information for you. Is your book on Amazon now?
It is. It's Get Lost Girlfriend. And if you go to getlostgirlfriend.com/book with a capital B, that'll take you right to the book.
Okay, great. And what if somebody would like to reach out to you?
They can call my cell and I will call back shortly. It might not be immediately, but it will be within 24 hours. I really monitor my cell. They can also text my cell, and that's 603-505-5000.
Okay. And I, if it's okay with you, would like to make you a part of the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System so people can reach out to you that way if you would like to be included there.
Oh, thank you. I'd be delighted.
And I'm so glad that we met. Because
I know.
I just think it's awesome. And I know that I'm going to be interviewing you while I'm on the road, right? In New Hampshire?
Absolutely.
And you have a whole program that you're super passionate about that I think people need to know about, because I think that people need to see that in this day and age, especially because I am all about living a passion-filled life and creating, you know, and designing a life you love. And you did that. You had your experiences, you got your education, and then you just continue, you and your husband, and I'm going to be interviewing your husband tomorrow, so he'll be on the show
shortly
after you. And his topic is totally different, which is super interesting and equally as needed in my life. But I just think it's great to have examples of people who are designing their lives and putting it out there. So I'm really excited to see you on the road.
So I figured out that my mission statement is that I use my magical child that lives with inside me to inspire others, to inspire others.
Perfect.
And that's what we do with our coaching program, where we invite people with a passion to make a living while making a difference. And that's what we do.
Yeah, coaching programs, personal development in that way is phenomenal. It's information you can never unknow. You always know it. It changes you forever, and it makes you want to enlighten other people. It just does.
Lynette, I want to give you a hug.
You will be able to soon.
I can't wait. That'll be great.
Sharon, thank you so much for coming on the show. Dr. Sharon Livingston, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Lynette. This was great.
So, listeners, this is your go-do. Dr. Sharon, what do you think they should go do right now to get started?
I think they should go for a walk and think about who they want to be 5 years from now. If they could be anything, what would it be? No matter what they're doing now, just allow themselves to have that imagination and feel full of joy. Feel you're doing something that gives you incredible bliss and joy, and just see what pops up.
And I'm going to add to that. I want you to, after you see yourself 5 years from now, do exactly what Dr. Sharon said and walk backwards. How did you get there? I love that concept.
Thank you.
So that's the end of the show, everybody. Please remember that you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.